He is in the Twin Cities. He probably has already been to a coffee shop. It is a big start to nine games, though, Jake. We were starting to start the show that it feels like while it's asking for a lot, they're in a position where they need a lot, which is you got to go 7-2 or 6-3. I know the team can't view it in the big picture like that, but for those of us outside, I think it's very fair. What do you make of this stretch coming up?
Yeah, good morning, guys. First, I'll say I'm very proud to share that I've already been to two coffee shops. Part of that is thanks to the off day. We had an off day here yesterday, so you know, I had a little bit more time. But yeah, I'm almost fully caffeinated and definitely ready for this next stretch of games. Alex, I think it's really interesting because you look at the teams that the Royals play coming out of the All-Star break, and you got the two hottest teams in the American League, in the first place Blue Jays and the Red Sox, that have had the best record in baseball pretty much since they traded away Rafael Devers. You know, as bizarre as that was, like, they have really catapulted themselves into very serious, not just playoff contention, but wild card, but division contention. And you go 3-3 against those teams on the road. You know, 3-3 on its face might say, okay, that's 500, but 3-3 against those teams on the road, that's pretty darn solid. And now you get a piece of the schedule that has a little bit of I think you'd agree, a softer underbelly. You have what's left of the Minnesota Twins, though that does include Joe Ryan tonight. Then you've got the Nationals, a team that has disappointed this year. Then you've got the White Sox, a team that's playing a lot better, but is still not a playoff contender. And then you've got a team in the Rangers on the back end of the upcoming homestand that you are directly chasing in the wild card picture. A team, by the way, that you swept at their place just a couple of months ago. So, you know, you can take the season series against them. You can improve your own wild card standing. That's going to be a pretty pivotal series. And then it's on the road against the Tigers and White Sox pretty much to round out the month of August. So, yeah, this is a really pivotal point of the schedule. But I think that the Royals are capable of making some noise and putting themselves on stronger footing heading into the final month of the season.
We've seen them try a lot of different stuff on offense. That includes letting some players go, calling some players up, and Jack Caglione, and so much more. Now they move Jonathan India down in the order, at least for a game. What would your expectation be on the permanence of that? Do you think it'll be more Grichuk, or is this just going to be matchup by matchup? India's got good numbers against somebody, he'll be at the top. If Grichuk or somebody else has good numbers, they'll be at the top.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I loved what Matt Quatrero said about it the other day when we were asking about moving Yaz into the leadoff spot. He had tremendous career numbers against Dustin May, and he made a really good point that when you're trying to get five left-handed bats into the lineup, that you need a little bit more of that balance. You know, the Royals had four lefties stacked at the bottom in Frazier, Rabe, Yastrzemski, Isbell, in some form or fashion that order. And, you know, that puts you in a position where later in the game, if they bring in a lefty, you've got to make a lot of moves off the bench in quick succession, or you're going to be on the short end of that platoon matchup. So moving Yastrzemski into the leadoff spot further balanced the lineup in terms of handedness, but it also got a guy who's got great numbers against that night's starting pitcher, more looks at that starting pitcher, and look, it paid off. He singled his first time up. He had an automatic double his second time up and then came around to score the Royals' first run of the game one pitch later. I think it's interesting, too, looking at through the lens of Jonathan India. If you look at his season splits this year, he's actually been way better with runners on base and runners in scoring position than he's been with the bases empty. Now, does that mean that he can't hit leadoff or that he shouldn't hit leadoff? No, not necessarily, because you really only technically hit leadoff once in the game. After that, it's kind of variable depending upon what happens with the rest of the lineup. You know, India might hit third in an inning after Raven Isbell, something like that. But I do think that it was an interesting switch that I think balanced the lineup, and I also think lengthened the lineup a good amount too. And I wonder if that's something we're going to see more of, especially against right-handed pitching. I think against left-handed pitching, you probably see India back at the top. But against right-handed pitching, I wonder if we see more of Yastrzemski at the top.
Jake, so much of the focus has been about the offense all year. We all know it. We've all talked about it. The other thing has been base running, and it's come back up again a few times this week. What have you heard, at least from the team and talking to Q and others, just what the biggest reason has been for some of the mistakes? I mean, some of these are mistakes that, frankly, shouldn't be happening at the big league level.
Yeah, I wish that I had a good answer. I don't. I think that through our lens as broadcasters and media members and by extension fans, I think that when these pickoffs are happening, they seem to be happening in moments that are magnified as opposed to moments that, you know, maybe it doesn't act, maybe it doesn't matter as much in that moment, mm-hmm. but it seems to be happening, you know, in a pivotal spot. And I think that's why it gets more magnified. And look, you know, the thing with Frazier yesterday, technically it's not a pickoff. Statistically it's a caught stealing because he was thrown out at second base. But if you want to think about it as a pickoff, that would give the Royals 16 this year. That's the most in baseball. And then you think, man, like the base running this year has been kind of all over the place. And I was actually surprised to like dig into this and realize this. But in terms of the sheer number of outs that the Royals have made on the bases, they're actually bottom third of the league in outs on the bases. So they've actually been a pretty good base running team, at least by that standard, when you take in the totality of what they've done on the bases. But the pickoffs, yeah, that is a glaring weakness that the Royals have had this season for one reason or another. I will point out, and I'm not just blowing smoke or looking through Royals colored glasses here, you know, as tough as that pickoff was with Frazier on Wednesday, there were two other base running plays in that actual same inning that I thought were really smart and really important. And it was Jonathan India getting to third base and then John Rave following to second base on the throw during that single that Rave had, you know, where he sends one into the right center field gap. Duran comes in. He's got to shift his body. His throw to third's offline. Putting those two guys into scoring position forced the Red Sox to bring the infield in. Izzy muscles one literally right behind the second base bag. If the infield's back, as it would have been if it was first and second, then Izzy's out and who knows what happens. But because the infield's in, well, that creates an opportunity for the Royals to get some runs. And we've seen that a couple of times now where the Royals have put themselves in a position to force the other team to bring the infield in, and that's created an opportunity. It happened later in the game, too, when Tyler Tolbert stole a couple of bases, and then Vinny Pasquantino shot one through a drawn-in infield to bring in another run. So as poor as the base running has been in the pickoff situations, I do think it's gone maybe a little bit understated that it has been better than maybe we realize when it comes to strictly running the bases.
Obviously, one start should not make any determination about where they are. What were your initial impressions of Falter and Burgert? Obviously, one guy pitched really well statistically and the other did not. But, like, just overall, yeah, getting those guys in, what'd you kind of think about the couple of first chances at the starting pitching we've gotten?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Bailey Falter. I've actually seen Bailey pitch for a long time, going back to his days in the Eastern League with Double-A Reading. And, you know, now in the big leagues for a couple of years, too. I'll be honest, and I'm not making any excuses for Bailey, but the Red Sox in particular are a pretty tough matchup for a lefty that doesn't get a lot of swing and miss, which is what Bailey Falter has been this year. He's been a lefty that's had success, but doesn't get a lot of swing and miss, and the Red Sox have crushed left-handed pitching. You know, they've got a couple of guys that have pretty extreme platoon splits in Romy Gonzalez and Rob Reschneider. So, you know, not the best matchup. At the same time, like, yeah, you want, you know, to pitch well, and I think that outside of the first inning, I thought Bailey Falter was fine, and I think he will continue to get better. I pointed this out on the air, too, but, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years that this Royals pitching group, they've developed a track record of taking a lefty from either in the organization or outside the organization and turning that lefty into an all-star. We saw it with Cole Reagans a couple of years ago, added a slider, bang, he's a Cy Young candidate. We saw it with Noah Cameron this year, added a slider in spring training, bam, he's a Rookie of the Year candidate. We saw it with Bubic in 2023, added a slider, looked great, had Tommy John, came back, boom, he's an all-star this year. So I do wonder what Bailey Falter looks like 2-3 starts from now when he's had a chance to really sink his teeth in with Brian Sweeney and the rest of the pitching group. As for Ryan Burgert, that was really impressive. I mean, he's still a rookie. The poise was there, kind of similarly to Noah Cameron, I think you'll agree. And I especially thought that the sweeper-slider combo, the two different sliders, kind of similar to Chris Bubic in a way, those two pitches played really well off one another, and he was inducing a bunch of weak contact. He was getting swing and miss. That fastball was running up to 95. That was an impressive debut for a guy that the Royals are going to have for years to come.
Jake Eisenberg, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the trip to Minnesota, and then we'll see you back in KC next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.